Democracy Concepts presents the first of a two-part audio of Porous Hands, part 5 of an 8-part series that discusses fundamental changes to Ghana's democracy. The music is by Kwame Ray Ellis. I want us to discuss the role of political parties in our economy. Okay, what about them, Grandpa? You have the constitution with you, don't you? Yes, Grandpa. Do you want me to read anything? There is a chapter on the directive principles of state policy. I want you to read a section on economic objectives. Directive principles of state policy. Economic objectives. Yes, yes. It's right here. I found it. Grandpa, it's Article 36 of the constitution. Read it for us. Article 36, Clause 1. The state shall take all necessary action to ensure that the national economy is managed in such a manner as to maximize the rate of economic development and to secure the maximum welfare, freedom, and happiness of every person in Ghana, and to provide adequate means of livelihood and suitable employment and public assistance to the needy. That's okay, stop there. Now tell me, how many years has our democracy lasted under this constitution? 30 years, I think. Let's see. 1992 to 2002 is 10 years. And 2002 to 2012 is another 10 years, making 20 years. 2012 to 2022 is another 10 years. 30 years, Grandpa. Now, do you think that in those 30 years, our economy has been on the path to achieving the economic objectives you have just read out? Grandpa, I have serious doubts. I don't think so at all. What I see is that the economic situation of many citizens has gone from bad to worse. Inflation is so high and real incomes have taken a nosedive. So, we cannot talk about a movement towards happiness for every person as the constitution envisages after 30 years. Grandpa, where is the happiness? No, what the ordinary person experiences is continual economic hardship. That's the lot of many of our fellow citizens. And what about adequate livelihood and suitable employment, as envisaged in the Constitution? Grandpa, those are dreams, very distant dreams. Unemployment is worsening, with university students finding it difficult to get employment. Okay, my son. And who or what do you think is responsible for this economic situation we find ourselves in? That's a difficult question, Grandpa. I don't want to take a guess. Are you sure you don't know or you are afraid to say it? Grandpa, I am tempted to say that our politicians are responsible, but I'm not so sure. But how can you say that you are not sure? Who is responsible for managing the economy of this nation? Is it not the politicians and their political parties? Yes, it is. So, if this nation had been doing extremely well economically, who do you think would take the credit for that achievement? Would it be me? No, Grandpa. Who knows you? It is the politicians who would take all the credit in that situation. Exactly. So, if the economy is not doing well, who should bear the responsibility? Me? It is the politicians, Grandpa. Definitely not you. My son, do you know how I see our political parties and politicians? No, not exactly, Grandpa. How do you see them? Do you see any sense of urgency in their attitude to the problems of our country? Do you, my son? Urgency? No, Grandpa. If there is any among our politicians and political parties, it is yet to be seen. Their attitudes and actions suggest that everything is well with our economy. Exactly, my son. Their actions can be likened to the airplane pilot who follows cruising altitude procedures while the plane he is flying is actually at takeoff. I like how you put it, Grandpa. You are right on point. Let me tell you a story, my son. Once upon a time, a young woman was rushed to a certain hospital in labor, needing emergency medical attention. She was carried to this particular hospital by relatives because they believed that it was well equipped and had the right caliber of medical staff to take care of their loved one. Arriving at the hospital, the family learned that the medical staff was in a meeting discussing issues of personal welfare with the hospital's administration. The front desk officer kept assuring the concerned relatives that the medical staff will be out in no time to attend to the patient. But despite her assurances, this young woman did not receive attention a full hour after arriving at the hospital. What? You mean the pregnant lady who needed emergency care had to wait a full hour to receive attention? Grandpa, you heard right, my son. A full 1 hour. Eventually, the medical staff emerged from their meeting, yet the young woman still did not receive attention for another 30 minutes. This is because an argument arose among the medical staff as to which team was to handle her case. Unfortunately, before their argument could be resolved, this young woman, who was expecting her first baby, passed out and never recovered. What? This is a very tragic story, Grandpa. It's a betrayal of trust. Did the family sue for damages? I don't know if they did, but that is entirely their business. You say it's their business, Grandpa. Why did you tell this story then? What are you saying? Because the story is similar to happenings in this nation. How, Grandpa? Are our hospitals that bad? Wake up, son. I am not talking about hospitals. I am talking about how the economy of this nation is managed. Okay, then please explain yourself, Grandpa. You are speaking in parables. Okay, let me explain. The young woman in the story represents our nation. Our nation? The young woman was pregnant. How do you liken her to our nation? Like that young woman, our nation is pregnant with promise. The constitutional promise of maximum welfare, freedom and happiness, adequate means of livelihood, suitable employment for every citizen, and public assistance to the needy. That is what I just read, isn't it? Exactly. And our nation is pregnant with that promise. But just as that young woman had a medical emergency, this nation has a serious economic emergency, requiring immediate and urgent attention. I agree, Grandpa. The economy of this nation needs intensive care. Can I continue? I would appreciate it if I can finish without any interruptions. Okay, Grandpa. Go ahead. Now, the young woman's relatives represent the citizens of this nation, and the hospital to which she was sent represents our political parties. Just as the relatives of the young woman had faith in that hospital, the citizens of this nation have high hopes in our political parties. Grandpa, you are right. Our people, I thought I said you should not interrupt, huh? Sorry, Grandpa, please continue. I will not interrupt again. As I was saying, we, the people of this nation, have so much hope in our political parties that we have granted them the power to run the economy of the state. Our people look on with great expectation and hope that our political parties will hatch development plans and drive those plans to save this nation from sinking further into economic death. Now, the medical staff of that hospital represents our politicians. Just as the medical staff was focused on their welfare matters and did not attend to the young woman an hour and a half after she arrived at the hospital, so our politicians are focused on their own interests, the neglect of the nation. Our politicians are so consumed with how they will contest the next election, who will become the party chairman, who will contest the presidential slot, or who will be in the election campaign team. And Grandpa, when they have won political power, our political parties are more concerned with protecting their party's position in every situation. They argue, for example, over whose fault it was that their Kosombo Dam nearly dried out, or who is responsible for their frequent power cuts, or who is worse at mismanaging the national economy. You are still very stubborn, my son. clearly I cannot shut you up. I give in. You are free to come in as and when you want. Thanks, Grandpa. I couldn't help but jump in. But please, continue. It's a very interesting analogy. Okay. The front desk officer in the story represents the propaganda and communication teams of our political parties. Just as the front desk officer kept assuring the anxious relatives that help will soon arrive, the communications and propaganda machinery of our political parties spew out messages of great hope. Sadly, much of what they expound turns out to be fables and half-truths. You can say that again, Grandpa. Only God knows the extent of lies and half-truths the unsuspecting public is fed with. Our politicians spend precious hours, days without end, on propaganda designed to win over public opinion, rather than on thinking about the development of the nation. It's like a circus. Indeed, my son, perhaps more than that. But let me continue and finish. So, as a young woman passed out and did not recover, this nation stands the risk of sinking deeper and deeper into economic mess from which it may never recover. True, Grandpa. I think the risk is very real, so long as our politicians and political parties continue with their needless bickering and brinkmanship instead of focusing on rescuing the very economically sick nation. Excellent story and an apt analogy, Grandpa. A very sad commentary on the politics of this nation. Some people may not like to hear this, but the truth of the matter is that our political parties and politicians are principally responsible for the precarious economic situation that this nation finds itself in. They are the main cause of the perpetuating economic hardship that many of our fellow citizens face on a daily basis. Grandpa, I don't even know what to say. And the sad aspect of all this is that our politicians and political parties don't seem to care very much. Grandpa, but how can you say that they don't care? They must care to a certain extent. Our politicians cannot be that uncaring. You think they care? A while ago, you agreed that our economy is on life support. Did you not? Yes, I did. But Grandpa, I cannot say that our politicians do not care at all. Okay, you tell me how much they care. Now, when a patient is on life support, how do the doctors attending to him behave? I guess they focus maximum attention on the sick person. Exactly. Doctors giving emergency care do not engage in frivolous arguments. When it's an emergency, doctors don't joke. Now tell me, my son, can we say that about our political parties and politicians? I am beginning to see your point now, Grandpa. My son, if you consider the precarious state of the national economy, you will easily perceive that our political parties and politicians are too much at ease. Indeed, I dare say that while our economy is on life support, our ruling politicians have loved to feel at ease in the common room, sipping tea or quaffing beer. You surely paint a gloomy picture of the danger the economy of this nation faces in the hands of our politicians, Grandpa. Not pleasant to hear. But the truth is that, left in the hands of our politicians and political parties, our national economy may never see the best of days. Grandpa, that is a very harsh charge. Our politicians and political parties will surely dispute that. Yes, I know that, but let's consider something, and you will see that what I'm telling you is the truth. Go ahead, Grandpa. I am listening. Now tell me, when political parties want to win power, what do they tell the people? Oh, that. Only sweet things. They promise the electorate to the highest heavens. Politicians love to promise, Grandpa. And tell me, are those promises ever fulfilled? Yes, Grandpa. Some get fulfilled. But the majority of promises is never fulfilled. In fact, in many cases, politicians and political parties promise heaven but end up delivering economic hell to the citizens. And what amazes me, Grandpa, is the boldness with which politicians make those promises. They don't seem to fear any backlash whatsoever from the people. It's almost as if our politicians have hypnotized the people. Exactly, Grandpa. See how they make fools out of all of us with their unfulfilled promises. You are right, my son. But sadly, they manage to get our people to see them as redeemers. And you know how they do that? Not exactly, Grandpa. It's simple. Our politicians deprive the people of the needed amenities for such long periods of time that they create a desperate situation. Then, when the desperation of the people is at its peak, they move in to do something small, and pronto, they become heroes and redeemers. It's a simple trick. The trick is the same, whether it concerns roads, schools, or clinics. You name it, the trick is the same, and they use it to great effect. You think these are people who care about this nation? Grandpa, what you've just said has struck a chord. That phenomenon can be observed all over the country. Our governments always drag their feet regarding the provision of infrastructural facilities during much of their tenure. However, when the elections draw near, roads are rehabilitated, boreholes are constructed, and school projects are initiated, all in an attempt to win votes. I agree, Grandpa. Our politicians and political parties do not care very much about our economy. Sadly, we consider them as indispensable in national development. But are they? Are they really indispensable? As far as I'm concerned, our politicians and political parties have seriously betrayed the trust of the people. They do not deserve the importance we have accorded them in national development. But, Grandpa, as sad as the situation is, I don't see what we can do about it. You disappoint me, my son. I disagree. There is a lot that we can do. Really? Really, Grandpa? You think something can be done? Yes. We can refuse to condone this betrayal by our politicians and political parties. We, the citizens of this country, need to wake up from our deep slumber. You say we must refuse to condone the betrayal by politicians. How are we to do that? We must realize that political parties and politicians are not the solution to our economic problems. This ends the first audio of Porous Hands. Stay tuned for the second audio. Thanks for listening.